Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 52. Let's understand that it's only the Lord that can open His Word to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray and ask God's blessing on this time. Our Father, as we open Your Word together, we first acknowledge how grateful we are for it. We've been so well instructed and challenged by Pastor Reber of late about the inspired Scriptures. And, oh, Father, that we would grow in our respect for this book and our love and our admiration for it and our commitment to honor it with our faith and our obedience. We come upon a text today that is prophetic in nature, that speaks of what You have ordained to do in the future and how You will do it. There is much in this text that we can learn about You and much that we will learn about ourselves. Grant us, Father, understanding, faith, and obedience to Your Word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin by saying to you that Christmas is God's huge comprehensive project. He has been planning it before the worlds began. Before He ever created the earth, the end of times was ordained. And we have been progressing towards that steadily and surely since the beginning. There is no doubt as to its full completion. We find ourselves in a moment of time on the way to this great blessing of God, which for this particular period of time, and not inappropriately, we are going to call Christmas. We all remember as children looking forward to Christmas. When we began to sing the Christmas carols at church, when the Christmas tree and all the decorations came up at home, and how we look forward to whatever in your home was the tradition, Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, and opening those packages and seeing what our parents had planned and gotten for us. Most of us have moved beyond that now. We are no longer the recipients, but the gifters. And we found that it's more blessed to give than receive, haven't we? Oh, my wife is so good at this. She saves all year. All year she's picking up things and planning. I'm like that guy they're advertising on the radio now that goes into FedEx and gets a box to send to his girlfriend for Christmas, and he doesn't have anything to put in it. He grabs a couple pens off the counter, throws them in there, and says, here, send this. Our Lord is far more involved in our lives than that. And He is planning for us something that is far beyond our vast imagination. We cannot capture the wonders of the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. As we think about projects today and what to us would be large and immense and beneficial projects, I've been watching a national project now for some time. It's over a decade ago that the engineers at Boeing Aircraft researched and decided on what the next airplane would be that they would build. They studied what they believed would be the needs of the world in the future and began to design an airplane that they call the Dreamliner, the 787. It's now flying. They've gone through all kinds of difficulties in getting it. At one particular time, they were at least 2 years behind schedule. I want you to know God's not behind schedule. He's right up to date. But at this particular point, Boeing Aircraft is building and delivering 5 787s a month. You talk about an American stimulus project. Do you know where those airplanes are going? Singapore, Japan, South Korea, India, United Arab Emirates. These guys are spending their money in America for these wonderful airplanes. Jobs by the thousands have been created by this individual business here in America with their courage and their risk. They've done that. What a wonderful thing. But it's been a huge project. But I want you to understand that God's involved in a much more vast project that is worth far more and will be satisfying for eternity. And it is that of a kingdom for his loved ones. Now, hold your place in Isaiah 52, and let me take you to a couple New Testament scriptures. We're going to begin in James chapter 1 and verse 7. No, verse 17, excuse me. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Now, we got a couple Christmas themes in there, don't we, already? Gifts, lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, so often we look at the little paltry things of this life, like breakfast, or something as equally insignificant as that, get all wrapped up in that, and forget that God has prepared something far more fascinating for us that wait for Him. A wonderful gift. And is the gift of a kingdom. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 29 through 32. And seek not ye what ye shall eat. You wonder why I said breakfast. Or what ye shall drink. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, that our hearts would be in love with the kingdom. The kingdom is a very vast thing in itself. It is huge. In its final analysis, it is the reward for God's people. It is where we are going. It is where we will spend eternity. It is a place of opulence and extravagance. The Lord has paused at times throughout the writing of this book to describe it to us. And we have some absolute physical descriptions of this kingdom, both in its earthly context and its eternal heavenly context. It is a place of magnificence. If you read through the book of Ezekiel with us recently, we read in those last chapters of the book of Ezekiel about the millennial kingdom here on this earth where we will live and reign with Him. What a wonderful place it is. When I get to that portion, I just lose my breath as I read through that and anticipate that and understand that He's made us a kingdom of kings and priests in that nation, in that world. We will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years there. And then you get to the end of the book of Revelation and He describes the heavenly Jerusalem. It's 1,500 miles square. And it's that high. I don't understand that. The gates are pearl. The foundation stones are diamonds and rubies and things like that. Amazing what we have in the future. Now, as we get to Isaiah 52, 53, and 54, he is talking about that kingdom and our coming to it. Now, there are two aspects of that kingdom that you need to see. And I don't think I should apologize for it being a little bit confusing. It's a little bit confusing, and that's just the way it is. And you aren't the first ones to be confused about it. As a matter of fact, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I've got a note on this someplace here in my text. I think I can find it quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1. The Old Testament prophets that wrote about the kingdom, verse 10, it says this about those prophets, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Those are the two aspects of this kingdom advent thing that we see, because the kingdom comes as a result of the advent of Christ. But his first advent, he comes in what the Bible calls weakness. He comes not as king, but as savior. And then later he will come as the ruling king. And in the Old Testament scriptures, these two advents were spoken of together and were so entwined that even the men who wrote about it weren't able to unwrap it and fully understand it. As prophecy has been fulfilled, I'm talking about the prophecy of the Old Testament, we have become more apt and able to unwind that, and we understand that there is a gap between the first advent of Jesus Christ and the second advent of Jesus Christ. And we understand that that kingdom has its application to two peoples, to the Jews, to the nation of God, the Jews, and also to the Gentiles. And I'm not real, I think I'm clear on understanding this, but I'm not real clear on explaining it. So I'm not going to go any further than that. But I want you to see that both of those kingdoms find their initiation in this theology of Isaiah chapter 52. So come to that chapter with me, please. Awake! Awake! Well, maybe you need to wake up this morning. I don't know. I've seen some of you looking kind of sleepy today. It begins with a call to wake up. There was something that we did with our children when they were young, when we were young, that they really enjoyed. You've heard of Six Flags Great America? There's several of them around the nation. There was one on the north side of Chicago. And occasionally we would take our children to Six Flags Great America. And we would plan, and the kids would look forward to it, and they would get all excited. And it would be the night before we go, and we would say to them, all right, now, kids, you've got to get to bed early. You need to get a good night's sleep because we want to be there when the gate opens, and it's 3 hours away. So we'll have to get an early start in the morning. And so they would be all excited, and they'd go to sleep, you know, and they'd have a hard time getting to sleep because they were so excited. And then finally they would fall off to sleep, and then about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, Charlotte and I would go into the room and say, wake up, wake up, it's time to go. Prophecy and the promises of God are very similar to that. As he tells us of the things that he will do, and then he wakes us up to enjoy them. Israel had gone to sleep Now, they had not gone to sleep in a literal way, but they had gone to sleep in a spiritual way, and they yet are asleep spiritually. They are all wrapped up in this world, and they have no conscious understanding of God and the things of God. Israel is spiritually dead. Oh, that we would pray for God's chosen people. Come with me to the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, where this sleepiness of Israel is spoken about. Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Remember the old Negro spiritual, these bones are going to arise again, these bones. Well, this is where it finds its origin in this text. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? What a question that is for us today. As we think of the promise of God and the coming of kingdom and the future of the nation of Israel, and we look at Israel today, whether those Jewish people who are in place there in the promised land, or the other about 12 million who are scattered around this world, most of them disgusting worldly people, no knowledge or care about God. And we would say, is there any hope for the revival of these people? The bones are dry and lifeless. How will God bring those people into their promised kingdom? He will begin by waking them up. Awake! Awake! I want you to understand the parallel truth to that for us as Gentiles. For the people of this world without Jesus Christ, who are caught up in all the falderall of the holidays or all the falderall of their careers and their homes and their possessions, and care not for the things of God, there is no hope for them as long as they are spiritually dead and asleep. They need to wake up. Awake unto righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. The same message that is the hope of God's people Israel is the hope of the Gentiles today. Wake up. Wake up. Go on in that verse. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. The holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Oh, what a change it's going to be. Israel's been in the news so much lately. What a terrible place it is over there. Racked with terror and hatred and danger. Oh, when the Lord returns, what a difference it will be. But before the Lord returns and before that blessed difference, there needs to be an awakening. It's almost 12 o'clock. Let me say to you this morning that just as God holds out a wonderful promise for His chosen people Israel, He holds out a promise today for the Gentiles. And the gate to that promise is awakening. Will you wake up? Will you get out of this incredible worldly stupor that holds you down to the miserable, unsatisfying things of this life and turn your attention to Jesus Christ? I say to you this morning, wake up. Christ's invitation to the Gentiles is this: come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and I will give rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, I plan so much to say to you about that yoke and that burden this morning. How I ache to say it to you now, but sufficient to say this: come to Jesus Christ while you may. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time that you must come to Him. Now is the time to repent. And may I say one more word about that? That is the message that we bear to this world. Those of us who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ understand there is nothing more important for you to do than to share that message with others. That is our mission. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Oh, that we would be energized to love the lost of this world, those who are under the bondage of sin, those who are captured by the bondage of this life. I've asked God to help me love the lost. And in little ways, He's helping me do that. In other ways, I'm failing miserably. But I'll tell you one story. This week, this is the second time. This week, there were two young ladies sitting on the porch here at the church, demonstrating their bondage to sin. And maybe I told you this story. I thought, I'm going to go out and get acquainted with those girls. Somebody needs to care about them. So I went out and I chatted with them a while. I got their names and found out where they went to school and found out some things about schools that are going on that I didn't know about. These other schools that are around here, what do they call those things? The kids who are in trouble, they go to these schools. Alternative, there's another one. Laser. Yeah, laser school. Yeah. And these girls were going to that laser school, and I was asking them, well, why are you going over there? Well, because we were in a bad group and we were getting in trouble. Trouble with the law. And I said, whoa, well, get that straightened up, you know. Got to chat with him. Anyway, I didn't want to bug him. I didn't say much to him. And I said, well, I need to get back to work. And I was opening the door, and they said to me, well, you have a good day. And, you know, Brother Al shared a tract with me. I've got a whole bunch of them now. That says, nobody ever told me how to have a good day. And as I'm walking down the hallway, I'm thinking about that gospel tract, and I'm thinking, well, I'll give that to those girls. And I went in and I grabbed a couple. They were walking across the parking lot on the way out. And I stopped them. I said, hey, girls, you said we have a good day, and I appreciate that. But I said, nobody ever told me how to have a good day, and I'd like to share these with you. And they said, well, thank you very much. Folks, that's our mission. Is that simple? And that's our mission. That's why we're here. God, help us to do it. Awake. Awake. So, I guess I'll just leave you with that thought that our Savior, through the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit, catches us on the verge of Christmas morning saying, wake up. Wake up. Shake yourself free of the bondage of this world. Turn your attention to the good things that I have prepared for you. And come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these few stumbling moments that we've had to just introduce the things of your kingdom and your call to us to awake. We understand that you've prepared all these things. You've planned all these things. You've purposed all these things. Our part is to look upon them and wake up. Acknowledge you, who you are, and who we are. To repent of our sins and to commit our lives to you. May we with joy welcome the coming of the greatest Christmas ever, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, I think we cited this earlier today, Jesus Christ said this to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus jumped at that point of time, which is about 30 AD, on into the future, at least 2,000 years away, and said, "Whatever else comes between, don't worry about it, I'm coming back." We need to get to that place. Whatever else comes in between, doesn't matter. He's coming back. Let us be faithful for him today. God bless you.